Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. That's right, Dorothy. This is Movie Addict Headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here, but if you are one, it's definitely the place for you. I'm your host, Betty Jo Tucker, speaking to you from beautiful Pueblo, Colorado, on this 18th day of August, 2009. I think we have a terrific show for you today, dear listeners. Two of our favorite guests, movie mom Nell Minow and the mad movie man, A.J. Hockery, are back again, this time to talk about time travel on film. They'll be with us in a few minutes, but first I want to check with Nikki and Jazz to find out if all systems are go for our exciting journey through the time travel movies. Nikki, is your Blog Talk Radio time machine ready for blast off?
It is ready for blast off, and chat is roaring.
Great. Well, please make sure our chatters fasten their seat belts. And thanks, chatters, for signing up to participate. You know we appreciate you, as well as all our other listeners. We're so happy that you're here. Now, how about you, Jazz? Are you all set for today's time travel discussion?
I'm not, but I'm planning on using a time travel machine to go ahead 3 hours when I would be prepared, so we should be all set.
I love that. These time machines really do come in handy, and I'm so thrilled that Nell and AJ are here. They're a great team. Jazz, remember that lively aliens versus monsters battle between the movie mom and the mad movie man a couple of months ago?
That was one of my favorites, yeah.
Mine too. And
I've never forgiven AJ for some of his choices, but, you know, it's a free country, at least to a limited degree for now. Yeah.
I know, and it is a free country here on Movie Addict Headquarters. They were so fearless and so much fun in that debate. I'm not sure that they'll battle as much today on time travel. But here they are now, and ladies first, of course. Nell, welcome back to Movie Addict Headquarters.
Well, thank you so much for including me. I love being on the show, and you always have a lively conversation. And so I'm looking forward to hearing what everyone's favorite and least favorite time travel movies are.
I am, too. I've been so excited, Nell, about this show. I haven't been able to think about anything else. And it's such a treat to have you with us. And, AJ, it's also a treat to have you as a guest, of course. Thanks for being here again today.
Thanks for having me back, and I'm kind of disappointed in you. You didn't bring out Huey Lewis in the News to sing Back in Time for the theme song.
Oh, my gosh. Nikki, maybe we'll have to edit that for the archives. That would really, really be...
Do we have a license for that?
probably. But if you won't...
To paraphrase Back to the Future, Jazz, where we're going, we don't need licenses.
There you go.
Good point.
I am the law.
That's right. We always love it when you're here, AJ. But we better get started. I don't know about all of you, but I'm usually a sucker for time travel films. And, you know, the whole idea of it fascinates me. Just thinking about going back to the past or into the future really gets my imagination going full speed, which explains probably why I'm been looking forward so much to this show. So, Jazz, why don't you start the ball rolling with the first question?
Well, it's going to be kind of hard because I think we're into a limited pool of people who qualify, but for those of you who actually saw Time Traveler's Wife, without spoiling the ending for us, what do you think?
Well, I not only saw it, but I also read the book, and I think this is one of those books that's very, very difficult to adapt. It's an extremely internal story. It's about the subjective feelings of the two people involved. It's, of course, about the title character, a woman who marries a man who is unstuck on time and travels back and forth inadvertently, leaving his clothes behind, so he ends up naked wherever he goes. And really, her past is his future. When they first meet in real time, she is remembers him because he used to visit her when she was a little girl and he was much older, but he's never met her before. So I got to say that in the theater that I attended, there was a lot of unintentional laughter, especially when his clothes kept falling to the floor every time he disappeared, and it really did not work very effectively as a movie. As a book, the lyricism of the writing, you know, and the imagination of it, I think, can work more effectively than it did on screen.
So you're recommending the book, but not the movie. I did have the misfortune to see The Traveler's Wife, and I am glad you mentioned about the chuckles in the theater, because I may be wrong, but I think The Time Traveler's Wife is the funniest movie of the year.
Oh, no.
Unintentionally, of course. But, and I thought while watching it, probably the book explained all of this better. And by the way, I did enjoy seeing Eric Bana. The fact that he has this buffed up bod, I think he got to show it off quite a bit in the movie. But the audience where I saw the movie was like the audience where you saw the movie. Whenever that would happen and the clothes would not disappear, it would just be
And I have to say that some of the more outlandish things in the book, believe it or not, they left out of the movie. But to me, the most interesting character in the movie doesn't even arrive until about the last 20 minutes. And she's the one you really want to know about, I think. So you know what the movie reminded me of? Do you remember that old TV show, Beauty and the Beast, where the entire TV show with Linda Hamilton and Ron Perlman was them gazing into each other's eyes longingly? It was kind of like that, where, you know, you believe that they believe that they were in love, but it really never involved us, the audience. And so I thought it was a disappointment. I love Rachel McAdams. I think she's just terrific. But it just was not a movie that could be adapted easily. And so Brad Pitt, love you. You were the producer. You did not... you picked the wrong book.
I think you're right about that, and I really have enjoyed Eric Bana and Rachel McAdams in several movies. In fact, in Red Eye, I think
she was great.
Let's
talk for just a second about really what is the appeal of time travel movies. Now, I've been told, I took a class in Mark Twain, and I was told by the teacher in that class that A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court was really the first major time travel story and a successful piece of fiction. And certainly you don't see any time travel in, you know, Jane Austen or Shakespeare or anything like that. So that may be right. And I think the appeal of time travel, whether you're going backward or forward, is the appeal that we often have in fiction, which is that we, the audience, know something that they don't know. So when the main character, when Marty McFly goes back in time in Back to the Future and, you know, doesn't know that there's only one kind of Pepsi, you don't get Pepsi for, you know, that we can laugh at that. It's sort of an automatic laugh. Or when he goes into the future, we can laugh at the idea that the future is going to, you know, how you project some of our current concerns into, you know, into extremes. And so I think that's really the appeal of time travel, is that somebody knows something that you know, the audience may know something that the characters don't know.
I think you're right about that. And but with this particular movie, you know, I can't remember when I've had such a hard time becoming emotionally involved in a love story as I experienced while watching this. And
you just have to trust
me.
You know, the book is entirely internal, and so it's just not going to translate well. So what are some of your favorite time travel movies that you think do work well?
Well, I think we should have A.J., chime in and Jazz about their reactions to this movie and to the things that we've said. What have you heard, AJ, about The Time Traveler's Wife?
Well, like I said earlier, I haven't seen The Time Traveler's Wife, although what I'm hearing is that it's another weeper. My favorite reaction that I heard is that someone said, between this and The Notebook, Rachel McAdams is on a mission to get everyone in the world to cry by 2013. So I'm just expecting another, like, weepy romance. So my cynicism alarm is raised, but, you know, I'm going to try and go in with an open mind and enjoy it for what it is.
I didn't like The Notebook either, I have to say.
Well, we were the two only women on the face of the earth, I think, who didn't like The Notebook, so maybe that explains.
And there again, I had read the book, so at least I knew what to expect. I actually brought two hankies with me just in case, and it just didn't get to me at all. But boy, that one has got some passionate, passionate fans. Now, there is, you know, there are different categories of time travel movies. There are romantic time travel movies, and there are sort of action time travel movies, and there are some butterfly effect time travel movies. In fact, there is a movie called The Butterfly Effect, where you know, you make one little change in the past and it results in big changes in the present. You know, of course, I think probably my favorite time travel movie is the Jack the Ripper one with Malcolm McDowell and
Time After Time,
where they were really falling in love in real life.
Even though I didn't see it, by the way, let me just share with you the one email that came in while we were getting ready for the show, because I had asked some people, you know, did any of you see this?
Mm-hmm.
And just to get somebody with a slightly higher testosterone level perspective on it, a friend of mine did get talked into going to see it with his wife and sent me an email just about 10 minutes ago, because they saw the matinee, screaming in all caps, "Oh, my God, it's a chick flick making itself up as a sci-fi movie. Save yourself. Don't go."
You know, it's funny. Now, my husband says that the definition of a chick flick is that it has to involve a makeover, a humiliating public apology involving a marriage proposal, or a montage with a pop song on the soundtrack and people picking out food at an open market and throwing things at each other. And this one didn't have any of those.
No, I don't think it was a chick flick at all, but it was not a very good flick.
It just wasn't a good
movie. You've been mentioning so many of the time travel films, and I'm just wondering why this is such a popular theme. I'm going to read the list quickly of the movies that we came up with that have this theme, and I'm sure we don't have them all, but I'm sure we'll hear about ones that we don't include. 12 Monkeys, and you mentioned The Butterfly Effect, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, The Time Machine in 1960, The Time Machine in 2002. You've already mentioned Time After Time, Kate and Leopold, A Sound of Thunder, Time Crimes, Somewhere in Time, Primer, Star Trek, Time Bandits, Time Runner, The Time Travelers, Time Cop, Time Line, Very Little Time, Time Rider, The Terminator, The Visitors. You mentioned The Connecticut Yankee and King Arthur's Court, Back to the Future. I think there were three of those. Returner and The Lake House and Godzilla versus King Ghidorah. I don't know whether I'm pronouncing that right.
Yep.
So AJ, why do you think that this is such a popular theme?
Well, as Nell mentioned earlier, it is that idea of, like, especially when you're, like, going back in time, because there's a lot of time travel movies where you go ahead, like Back to the Future Part 2. A lot of that was set in the future. But for me, I like the idea more of when you go back in time and then you return to the present and, like, see what's changed when you did something there, like the butterfly effect theory, like one little action can have all sorts of repercussions. And I think
hated that movie. I saw that you
Butterfly Effect.
I hated Butterfly Effect. And what was the other movie that was about the butterfly effect but was called something else?
Sound of Thunder.
Oh my gosh,
that was not a good one.
That was just horrifically bad.
Because as you mentioned on your list, Betty Jo, there's that last one, Godzilla versus King Ghidorah. That's the one I came up with because I saw it this past week, and the story involved going back in time to when Godzilla was a dinosaur and sort of taking him off before he got mutated by the atomic bomb, but in his place, another monster got born instead. So all those different theories about what could happen, even with the tiniest or biggest actions, that appeals most to me, and I think that appeals to a lot of moviegoers as well.
Well, I was the one who came up with Lake House when Betty Jo sent out her request for the list, and I immediately regretted suggesting it and felt terrible, so I apologize to everyone.
I like that one, and as a matter of fact, somebody wrote something interesting recently, which is that The Time Traveler's Wife, The Lake House, and one of the most popular time travel movies of all time, Somewhere in Time, are all set in the Chicago area, so they sort of wonder if there's some kind of time warp going on. All right, I've got a movie that none of you have ever heard of that's about time travel that I thought was very good called Happy Accidents.
Oh, I haven't heard of that.
Oh, I've heard of it. I saw that.
Okay, with Marissa Tomei and Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah.
And directed by the same guy who did
Brad Anderson.
Yeah, who did Next Stop Wonderland. And I thought that was a wonderful movie. I really enjoyed it.
We'll have to check that one out. Happy accidents. Thanks for that, Tipper. Always happy to hear about movies that we haven't seen that you
recommend. Marisa Tomei is just wonderful in it, but I think she's an amazing actress.
She is. She's good.
Well, I'll have to go check that out just because it's got Marisa Tomei in it.
Yeah, I got to meet her last year when she was in town for The Wrestler. She is so nice.
Well, if you want the really obscure ones, we also didn't mention Sex and Death 101 with Winona Ryder, where they're in communication with a machine from the future that brings them back information from the future and how it affects their lives.
Okay.
That's one I hadn't heard of, too. So, great. Thank you for the suggestions. So, I think we need to check with Nikki now to see if there are any suggestions coming from the chatters about time travel movies that we haven't mentioned.
I think that actually Jazz knows the most obscure ones, but Time After Time,
that's one I love.
Yeah.
That's the Jack the Ripper one. I love that one.
Uh-huh. And then The Lake House.
And The Lake House. And I saw that you had on your list one of my least favorite movies of all time, Primer.
Yeah.
Oh, I liked Primer.
Oh my God, it was so boring.
That is the perfect time travel movie for like hard sci-fi nerds.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that is if what you're interested in is kind of the logistics and the playing out the possibilities and the kind of binary nature of time, then yeah, that's a good one. But boy, I thought that was the dullest movie ever. I will mention, however, that Roger Ebert included that in his Overlook Film Festival, so he liked it and thought it should get a
You know, Betty Jo, we're already dragging them into this free-for-all with what's good and what's bad. Maybe it's time to just send everybody around the table and tell us your top three.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
I have one to mention that y'all didn't mention. I know AJ's going to just be so mad at me for this, but this is why I'm going to say it. Y'all have missed Time Bandits. I'm just saying.
Oh, I love it.
Missed Time Bandits.
Yeah,
I never saw Time Bandits.
One of my all-time favorites.
Wait! He said he's never seen Time Bandits. Come on!
I haven't seen it. I'm sorry.
It's a sensational movie.
We're taking away your title, AJ. You're no longer the mad movie man.
You can't take away my movie card. Come on!
You must see Time Bandits. Well, Jazz, I like your idea of going around for the top three. So Nell, let's start with you. Pick your top three.
Well,
I'm definitely going to say
Time Bandits. Time After Time. I love that movie. I think it is such a smart, interesting, fun movie. And in honor of my darling husband, I have to say the original Rod Taylor Time Machine, because he loved that movie when he was a little boy, and he still loves it.
Good selection. Those three. You picked Time Bandits and Time After Time and the George Pal Time Machine. And how about you, AJ?
All right. My number three pick is 12 Monkeys, which is arguably Terry Gilliam's best movie.
I love that
movie. My number two pick is The Terminator, which a lot of people tend to not think is a time travel movie, even though it figures into the plot pretty good, because the Terminator goes back in time, tries to kill the woman who will give birth to the leader of their resistance. And my number one pick is going to be, no surprise, Back to the Future all the way.
Yeah. Excellent.
All three
choices.
Of the films? Or just the first one?
Just the first one. I wasn't too big of a fan of the last two, but they didn't ruin the first one for me. That one's just about perfect.
Those are great selections. 12 Monkeys, The Terminator, and Back to the Future. And how about you, Jazz, your top three?
I have to go outside right now and look to see if there are pale horsemen riding in the sky, because one of the rare instances ever, AJ and I are going to come down almost entirely on the same page.
Stop the presses.
Someone was in a time machine.
At number three, I'm going to cheat a little bit and pick both versions of the time machine, 1960 and 2002. I was one of the weird people that really liked the new one.
I liked the new one, too.
I thought it was well
done. Oh, the new one was the goofiest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, come on. We're having a moment, AJ, where we're agreeing.
I'm
going to
start singing Kumbaya.
And number two, the first Back to the Future movie, I thought it was great. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. I like the whole series, but I did think the first one was the best. And number one, believe it or not, yes, I'm picking The Terminator. That's my favorite time travel movie of all time. That movie rocks.
Yeah, so you have some great selections, too, with the time machine. Now, did you say that's the first time machine?
No, both of them. I was cheating.
Both of them. Oh, you're cheating. That's
yeah,
right. You said, I'm trying
you
to
can
write.
Have all, you can have all three Back to the Futures, too, if you want.
I,
okay.
I would have, but, you know, no, I don't think the second two really deserve a spot on anybody's top three list. I think they were okay. But the first one was really, that was
first
prime
one was
material.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Really great film.
Yeah. Well, so we do have Back to the Future mentioned two times, and we have The Terminator mentioned two times, and we have Time Machine also mentioned two times. So I think we're finding some areas of agreement, and I'm kind of surprised about that. And my top three are The Time Machine, the one with Guy Pearce. I just thought that was fantastic
wow.
all the way around, AJ. I know we've argued about this before, but
isn't Orlando Jones great in that one?
Oh, he plays Vox, this little the hologram.
Yeah,
that's kind of like the internet with sarcasm, and
yeah.
you can get all the stories that he would tell and the little.
I'll give the movie this. I didn't think Jeremy Irons could overact any more than he already did in Dungeons and Dragons, but The Time Machine proved me wrong.
Oh, and I like
talk about
it.
Damning
like,
with same praise.
I know, I liked everything about it. And
if
then
I ever
my
get a
number
movie deal, remind me to not send any screeners to AJ.
You don't anyway.
If he gets a movie deal. And my number two film, this is not going to be a surprise to anyone because I am the world's most avid movie musical fan. It's A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court.
Oh, Bing Crosby?
Yeah, in 1949 with Bing Crosby. It's actually the only Bing Crosby film that I liked, but I thought he was perfect as this sort of lazy mechanic that gets struck by lightning and finds himself in King Arthur's court, and he just played the part perfectly. I loved it when the song that he was singing, I'm Busy Doing Nothing, I just thought that was so clever. I love Mervyn Vie as Merlin. Oh, my goodness. He just looked the part, and I haven't been able to accept anybody as Merlin ever since Mervyn Vie. And it's the first time that I saw Rhonda Fleming in Technicolor when I saw
and she was born for, like Maureen O'Hara, she was born for Technicolor.
Exactly. I mean, she just took my breath away. So that's my number two. My number one is Kate and Leopold. Now, why is no one surprised at me choosing Kate and Leopold? Because of how much I enjoy Hugh Jackman in anything. And this was actually, I believe, the first time I saw him after the first X-Men movie. And so I was pleasantly surprised at how delightful and charming he could be. As this
I'll just say it's a good thing Betty Jo's not monitoring the chat when she picks Kate and Leopold as number one.
Kate and
yeah.
Leopold is...
You know, I'm going to make a confession. I really liked Kate and Leopold.
Oh,
and I liked
my
Lake
goodness.
House, too.
I like the Lake House, but I have to say about Kate and Leopold, do you know about the famous last-minute change of the ending that they had to do in Kate and Leopold? Because
yeah.
when they showed the movie to critics, Roger Ebert pointed out that they had inadvertently created a situation where someone was having a romantic relationship with his future grandmother because of the time warp, and they had to change the relieve Schreiber character before it was released. But I agree with you that Hugh Jackman is very dashing in Kate and Leopold. So I'm going to have sort of a little bit of a cheat also, since we're cheating here, and that is that I want to mention On a Clear Day You Can See Forever, because it's a little kind of a time travel movie, and it's a musical, so I'll put that one on there for you.
Oh, good. I'll take any musicals that anyone wants to mention. But, well, let's go to the other extreme. Which films would make your list of the worst three time travel movies? Nell, why don't you start?
Well, certainly The Sound of Thunder, especially that last scene. I mean, we were screaming. We were so annoyed with that, where, you know, every time they turn around, they completely change the future course of history, and it's just ridiculous. So I didn't like that. And similarly, I did not like the butterfly effect at all. And I guess for my third one, I think I might say... I think I'll leave it at those two. Those are my two least favorite, and there isn't another one that I dislike as much as I like those two.
Those two, you go double on those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and how about you, AJ?
This list isn't going to be in any particular order, because I didn't really hate any time travel movies in particular, just ones I wasn't really all that pleased with. But I'd say Sound of Thunder, that was one of the another like very, very silly movie made out of a really good idea that could have been classic, but instead it's like the world's most expensive B-movie they ended up making. My other pick would be the Time Machine 2002 version. I've said it all right there. And my third pick would be Just Visiting, which is the American remake of The Visitors.
Right. With the same guy playing the same part, right? Jean Reno
was
in that movie.
And it was still horrible. It was the same people, and it was still a terrible movie.
It was not good, but it was not as bad as Sound of Thunder, which has really got to be one of the worst. Now,
that'd be up there. That'd be my unofficial number one.
I have not seen Time Cop. I hear that that's not very good, or Time Crimes.
Oh, don't worry. That's going to be on my list.
Okay, goody.
Okay, Jazz. You're on, Jazz.
I've got Time Cop as number two, just to get that out of the way.
Okay.
Really, really bad film. Back at number three, Betty Jo, don't fire me, but Kate and Leopold. I think that was
oh my
a,
gosh,
a
I'm
really,
going to have to think about that. I'm going to have
really
to think about
awful,
that. Okay.
Awful film. And possibly the very worst one would have had to have been Time Runner. That was just
I haven't seen that.
I didn't even finish. You know, it was just horrible.
Can you
Which
tell
one,
us a little bit about Time Runner?
I like I said, I didn't even watch the end of it. I rented it on somebody else's recommendation quite a while ago, and the details are still sketchy. I'm not even going to try to jump into it. It was just avoid the film is all I can say. It didn't hold my interest enough to finish watching the DVD.
Wow.
It was just boring and very poorly put together.
Wow.
Yeah, you have to admit, Jazz, Time Cop is one of Van Damme's better movies.
Well, that's not saying much.
Yeah, really.
Right.
And I was like, that and Street Fighter.
That's true.
Okay, I'll agree with you. It's one of Van Damme's better movies, which is, you know, like saying one of Lucille Ball's better serious drama roles. You know, she's a comedian.
I think we're unanimous on A Sound of Thunder. Well, practically. Jazz didn't, I guess you.
Well,
if
I had seen Sound of Thunder, who knows, it might have made my list. By the time I do get out and see the Time Traveler's Wife, who knows, if it really is a chick flick, as my friend said, maybe that'll jump onto the list, too.
You know, we could have to have a separate whole conversation about chick flicks, because I think you guys marginalize and, you know, that whole genre really unfairly. And so I think we need to have another conversation.
I'm not disputing it.
DVD just recently, by the way? Now, what was that last Jennifer Aniston movie? He's Just Not That Into You. I heard so many raves about it, and I actually sat down. My wife is in the chat room. She'll tell you right now. Didn't even watch it with her. I manned up for all of you guys, and I sat through that entire film by myself. I finished it off. I wrote a review. I gave it 2 stars out of 5, and that was being generous. It was one of the most horrible movies of all time.
No.
Okay, well, let's have a separate talk about chick flicks, but I will say that with that movie, you need to watch online. The male stars of that movie did a very funny YouTube video about all of the chick flick cliches that are not in that movie, which I thought was pretty good.
Well, I think we could talk, you know, we could have a number of shows about chick flicks.
Well,
I don't want people to dismiss The Time Traveler's Wife as saying, oh, it's a chick flick, therefore it's not good. I think you could say that Time and Again is a chick flick, and because it's a romantic time travel movie, okay, it's got, you know, it's got a serial killer in it, but you know, I don't think that's enough of a criticism.
No, that's true. That's true. I will agree on that. But I get to say my bottom three, the worst time travel movies. And I'm going to pick A Sound of Thunder as number one. And then, AJ, you haven't seen this movie, so you don't need to jump on me, but the other two will. I'm saying Time Bandits because I couldn't watch it.
Oh my gosh, it's one of the most creative and brilliant, wonderful movies of all time.
It's imaginative. I will give Terry Gilliam that. His movies are always imaginative, and he's such a nice guy, and I love him dearly. But I thought it was a muddled mess, and I had trouble following it. And I haven't seen it for a number of years, so maybe on because you guys think it's so great, I will try it again. Maybe I will change my mind about that.
She's saying
and
that
then,
I put Kate and Leopold on my bottle list.
I'm really upset about
that's
that,
okay.
Of course. I'm having a lot of trouble with that, to tell you the truth. And then my third would have to be, let's see, it's going to be tough on this third, but I think I will go along with you on the visitors.
Yeah.
Or just visiting,
yeah.
Because that had such potential about the knight who and his faithful servant who get transported into a modern day city, and you know they try to joust with the cars or think the cars are dragons or something. So it had the potential, but it didn't. Definitely did not.
And I love Jean Reno. Jean Reno.
Yes.
You know, Betty Jo, I think all the people that actually saw Just Visiting are in this chat right now. Or on
show. Oh, they are? Did they like it? Do they like Just Visiting?
I don't think it's just you and me.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It is just the two of you.
I think that there are many people who might have been disappointed with just visiting. Well, let's talk about the performances in these films. I'm wondering if you have any picks for best and worst performances in a time travel.
Oh, Malcolm McDowell. Malcolm McDowell in Time After Time. He's so good as H.G. Wells. He's so wonderful. And Mary Steenburgen, they are just absolutely sensational. And, of course, David Warner as Jack the Ripper is amazing.
Oh, that was a great film. That was a Nicholas Meyer film, and it had such suspense, such good special effects.
And I loved Christopher Reeve and Jane Seymour in Somewhere in Time. It's not my favorite movie, but they're wonderful in it.
They had such a great rapport, and it was definitely hauntingly romantic. So you're picking Malcolm McDowell, Christopher Reeve, and Jane Seymour for best performances.
And Mary Steenburgen,
Oh, and Mary Steenburgen, right. So how about you, AJ?
You know, I got to give it up for one of the best mad scientists in movie cinema.
I know what you're going to say.
Christopher Lloyd is Doc Brown.
Doc Brown.
you want him to create all this stuff that'll send Marty on all these shenanigans just because of the adventures involved. You want him to just invent all this crazy stuff, and it's really cool, and he gives us a great performance. I also got to give it up for Brad Pitt in 12 Monkeys. Just absolute bug nuts crazy.
I could not
and
agree more.
And he pulled it off so well.
You know, I've spent a certain amount of time with mentally ill people, and I really quarrel with the portrayal of mentally ill people in movies all the time. That is my single, in my opinion, the most authentic portrayal of mental illness in any movie ever. And I think he is sensational in that film.
I think so, too. And he really showed the acting potential that he had in that film. So so those are excellent choices. Christopher Lloyd and Brad Pitt, Malcolm McDowell, Mary Steenburgen, and Christopher Reeves, Jane Seymour. How about you, Jazz? Any best performances out of these time travel movies?
Absolutely. But first, I would like to expand on one of those kudos. I think that Brad Pitt should be commended for some of the best work, you know, exemplifying a mentally ill person in virtually every one of his films.
Jazz.
Yeah, you would have to be crazy to sign up for Ocean's 12.
You would, really. I was only.
Hey, he's got six people to support.
I was only going to go with one. And
okay.
I have to give my one single award. Maybe there's a big sentimental thing involved, but to Michael J. Fox for Back to the Future. I thought that tender age playing, the young Marty McFly. You know, and carrying that character on, I thought he pulled it off. It was comic, it was humorous, and I thought he did a great job developing the character and bringing a lot of life to it. I thought he did great work there.
I like all of the selections that you made, and of course, my best performance nod would go to Hugh Jackman and Leopold.
Okay,
he's
great.
No, really?
There they go.
He is
Please,
great.
People
no
in the
question.
Chat, support me. Support me on Hugh Jackman.
I would go back in time. I'd go back in time to get Hugh Jackman. He's pretty great in it.
Hooray for you, Nell.
He exemplifies dashing.
Yeah, he definitely. And
moving
he's
right
wonderful.
Along.
Moving right along, right? Moving right along would be my worst.
Oh, we got to do worst, really?
We
got
to do worst. I already have
the actors.
I have a worst, and that's Ben Kingsley. I hate to badmouth an Oscar-winning actor, but Ben Kingsley in A Sound of Thunder wins my worst acting.
Oh, I agree, no question about it.
Isn't that a shame?
Between that and Love Guru, I'm in a support of Oscar rescission. I think he just has to give it back.
He should give back his Oscar.
Don't forget Thunderbirds now. Don't forget Thunderbirds.
Oh,
that was epic, awful.
Yeah.
It's so terrible that he's so talented and he's gone downhill in these. But he just didn't look like a entrepreneur.
And
the hair was
unfortunate. It was very
unfortunate.
I wasn't muted. I was just reading the chat while you guys were going along. Go ahead.
So, what's going on in the chat? Is there something about worst performances or best performances?
Oh, there were on the worst performances already, yeah. And the one that scrolled by fairly quickly, I do have to...
Planet of the Apes.
Momentary props to the person who said, if Brad Pitt is an actor, then Gary Busey's a scientist.
That's right.
Oh.
Gee, you don't even know. You don't even know what we're talking about in chat because we are no Brad Pitt lovers, just so you know. This chat is not full of Brad Pitt lovers.
I love Brad Pitt.
No.
And I think he's a very talented guy. He was, and just 12 Monkeys
will
do it all for you.
He was not even acting. I've seen the movie 3 times. He was not acting. That's the thing. I don't like him at all. I have no love for him. None. He was a cheater. He's a womanizer and a cheater. No love for him.
If that's how we're characterizing people.
We hope that Angelina isn't listening. Okay, but moving along now, should we talk about special effects? Because
the next one, Betty Jo, we were going to.
Yeah.
Most of these films do involve a science twist to them, and they require having some special effects to pull that off, and some more successful than others. So, what stands out for you guys as the really good special effects efforts in the movies we've been listing?
No question, I think Terminator comes out first for special effects.
Oh, absolutely.
And we can save time on my choice. I was going to pick Terminator also. So, Betty Jo, what was yours?
I think that the time travel machine in the Time Machine of 2005 is a standout.
It's cool.
Especially after seeing A Sound of Thunder and how lame the people got back into the past in The Sound of Thunder. But I just remember in The Time Machine, there's that handcrafted barber's chair, and there's these spinning discs and spinning blades surrounding that chair, and they start to glow, and they just glow so dynamically that there's a force that practically makes them fly off the screen. So I'm giving my award for best special effects to The Time Machine. Although the first Time Machine did win, I think, an Oscar. For George Powell. But
yeah.
I hadn't seen
that. There was
that
great scene where the shop window across the street from his house, you know, really showed what was going on over the decades, and that was very, you know, for the era, those were great special effects.
We're getting death threats from the chat, by the way, that if the show ends and I do not mention the fact that we apparently committed a gross violation in overlooking something, it was brought up by Ed Morrissey of The Ed Morrissey Show. And then jumped on by everybody else. We did not mention Peggy Sue Got Married.
Oh,
never saw.
Sorry, Nicolas Cage.
That is a very worthwhile one to mention. And thank you very much, Ed, for bringing it up.
It was a good film.
Absolutely.
It is a good film. That scene where she goes back to see her grandparents is very touching.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I gotta say, for special effects, I gotta cheat a little bit, and you could argue that 2001: A Space Odyssey, where he transcends space and time, that whole laser light show is incredible, no matter when you watch it.
It's memorable. It's
no question.
Memorable.
I agree. That was beautifully done.
So we have some great picks for special effects, and I think we've pretty well exhausted the time travel theme here, but I want to take a few minutes at the end of the show because we do have both Nell and AJ here who probably watch a lot of DVDs, and AJ is our DVD correspondent for Movie Addict Headquarters. So, AJ, could you give us a couple of recommendations about recent DVDs? Now, they don't have to be about time travel, but any recent DVDs that you recommend our listeners check out?
Sure. One, the last week is probably my vote for the best comedy of the year so far, even above The Hangover. I got to go with I Love You, Man.
I Love You, Man, and that's with Paul Rudd, okay?
Yeah, Paul Rudd and Jason Segel. It's really funny, and it's one of those movies that handles the comedy and the drama without getting too sappy or too insulting. It handles both of those elements really well, and it's just a funnier, richer movie for it. And another movie I got to recommend, it's not out yet, but it'll be coming out on September 8th from the Criterion Collection, David Mamet's Homicide. And I am a big David Mamet fan, and this one has two of his usual actors, Joe Mantegna and William H. Macy, and it is more than your usual cop thriller. It is so fascinating. It is so good, and it's worth it just buying it because of the movie. It's one of the best movies I've ever seen, but that, and you know, with the Criterion Collection behind it, it's getting the royal treatment that it deserves.
Wonderful. So I love You, Man, and David Mamet, Homicide. What about you, Nell?
Well, first
do you
I want
have...
to know, what do you think about David Mamet doing Anne Frank?
It's going to be interesting, because I know Judaism plays into a lot of his projects, so it's going to be interesting to see him handle something like this. I know he's done more downplayed drama, because he did The Winslow Boy and The Spanish Prisoner, which were a lot different than his usual big testosterone profanity festivals. So I'm interested in seeing what he does with it.
Yes, it should be interesting. Most of his stuff is interesting. I cannot believe it. We only have 3 minutes left, and I
All
want
right.
to make sure
I
that our
recommend
listeners...
Coraline.
Coraline.
Yes,
I love
Coraline.
Excellent
and
choice.
You can get it on Blu-ray. You know, I went to the Coraline panel at Comic-Con and got to see some of the figures up close, and they are just breathtakingly beautiful, and it's just an amazing film.
And the best movie and the best movie of the year. I got to say the best movie of the year so far, Watchmen.
Watchmen, yes,
I
would recommend
Watchmen. From director Chris Mason Johnson called The New 20. It just came out. If you get a chance, it wasn't anywhere. It was in like three theaters. Independent film, very low budget, fantastic movie. The New 20, directed by Chris Mason Johnson. We don't have time to go into the whole thing. I'll just say, go ahead and see it. It is a modern, very depressed version of St. Elmo's Fire,
wow.
Taken to a really modern, edgy, gritty level, and I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
Well, thank you for those recommendations. Listeners, we've got a lot of movies to check out on DVD, and I'm so sorry that our time is up now, and I want to thank you, Nell and AJ, for being such splendid guests again. You've been just awesome. Thanks so much for taking the time to be on the show, for making the time fly by, even without a time machine, and for enlightening us with your film knowledge. I hope
Thanks
everyone
for having me
will...
on.
Oh, you're sure welcome, and you too, Nell. And please
check out
The Mad Movie Man's reviews on realtalkreviews.com and on Passport Cinema, and he has several other sites, and The Movie Mom's reviews on moviemom.com, and I hope that both of you will come back soon.
I'd be delighted. Don't forget, we have to talk about chick flicks.
Yes, chick flicks again, chick uh-huh. flicks 3. This is Betty Jo Tucker giving a big shout-out to the folks at Blog Talk Radio for all their support in connection with this show. Special thanks, as always, to Nikki and Jazz for everything they do to make Movie Addict Headquarters such fun. Thanks also to all our listeners and to the people who signed up for the chat. We really appreciate your participation. Please come back next Tuesday, August 25th at 4 p.m. Eastern Time for our special Alfred Hitchcock tribute. In the meantime, don't forget to check out our movie reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's R-E-E-L, realtalkreviews.com. Now, to close the show, here's A.J. Daniels with the song we dedicate to all our Blog Talk Radio listeners.
of you. Then you'd be forced to love me too. If you knew how much I adore you, you'd stay with me and be